Hi, Bob Seng here from Benefit Comply, and I am along with...
Sarah Gersovich.
I guess I should say I'm here along with Sarah Gersovich. So we today, in this podcast, this is part one of two podcasts dealing with health flexible spending accounts, and then the advanced part kind of ties these things to healthcare spending accounts. Today we're going to set the table with some basics. And Sarah, I think we decided we're going to start with kind of a description of the 12-month use-it-or-lose-it rule and how the runout period affects that.
Yes. So generally, health FSAs are subject to what's known as the use-it-or-lose-it rule, which means that whatever you don't end up spending by the end of the plan year, it's forfeited. So for example, if I make a salary reduction contribution of $800 towards my health FSA, and by the end of the plan year, I've only incurred $500 worth of claims, under the normal use it or lose it rule, I forfeit $300. And it's just gone.
Okay, good. So that's the primary use it or lose it rule. Mm-hmm. Now, for those of us who have a hard time finding all of our receipts and things at the end of the year, we have the runout rule.
Yes, and a runout period is just an extra period of time for participants to submit claims that were incurred during the plan year. So it's not extra time to incur claims. It's just additional time to submit them.
Good. Okay. Now the next two, we're getting into the weeds here, really are ways of kind of extending that use it or lose it rule, right? Okay.
Yes.
And I think we were talking again earlier about this. I think of them both as brand new, but Sarah tells me that this next one has been around for a while. And that is the HSA grace period, right?
Yes.
Okay, so run into that.
Okay, a grace period is a period of up to, and most commonly, of 2.5 months after the end of an FSA plan year, in which participants can use any remaining funds that they have left for expenses incurred during that grace period.
Okay, so when the grace period is used, that 12-month use it or lose it window really becomes a 14.5-month window.
Yes.
Okay, so that's
March 15th. For a calendar year plan.
Good
yes.
point. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Now let's get even more complicated and talk about a plan that has the grace period.
Mm-hmm.
So the expenses can be incurred up to March 15th.
Yep.
Can they still have then a runout period so they'd get another 2.5 months after March 15th to submit all of their bills?
Yes, there can be a runout period that occurs after the end of the grace period. So you really are, in a sense, just extending the plan year and then putting that runout period.
Okay, and I said 2.5 months, but how long are runout periods typically?
There really is no requirement that runout periods be a certain length or limited to a certain length of time. It's really
okay.
A matter of plan design.
Yeah, and employers would be well advised to not make that too long.
Right.
I would say.
Yep.
So the next way of extending this 12-month window is the health FSA carryover. And we should say that you can't have a grace period and a carryover, thank God, because that would be really complicated.
An administrative nightmare.
Yeah, okay. So tell us what the carryover rule is and how that works.
Okay. Health FSA carryover is an arrangement in which a participant is able to carry over up to $500 worth of unused expenses and apply those dollars to expenses incurred during the next plan year, so plan year two.
Okay, now if I carry over $500 to the next year, it doesn't affect how much I can put in the next year, correct?
Nope, it's really just an additional $500 on top of your normal plan year two election.
Got it. And the catch is you can't carry over more than $500. And that's how this thing doesn't spin out of control if you go down 4 or 5 plan years. The only amount you can carry over is $500. If you have $700 left, you forfeit $200.
You forfeit two. Exactly.
Okay. It's a lot like accrued unused vacation rollover. Some employers will allow some rollover.
Okay. Right.
Okay, good. So the runout rule or the run out, whatever you want to call it, has an impact on the carryover. rule, and it's a little confusing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and I should say up front, there's not a required way for employers to coordinate carryovers and runout periods. Mm-hmm. Again, it's a matter of plan design, but there is sort of a best practice. And typically, what this would look like is that at the end of plan year one, the runout period would occur as normal.
Mm-hmm.
And so any claims submitted during that runout period, they're first going to be paid with any potential carryover amounts.
Yeah, okay.
So that can actually end up reducing the total amount of your carryover, depending on how many runout claims there are.
So you might not know what your full carryover is until the end of the runout
period. Exactly right.
This is more of a systems challenge than a word challenge for us to try to describe, I think, mm-hmm. on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But suffice it to say, having a carryover rule in place can be consistent with having a runout rule in place.
Yes.
Having a carryover rule in place is not consistent with a grace period. Those two, it's one or the other. You choose.
Having a carryover and a grace period, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Sounds good.
Yes.
Next podcast, we'll talk a little bit about how these rules interact with HSA contributions. Any parting thoughts, Sarah, before we end?
Just, for employers who are considering adding a grace period or a carryover, the addition of either of these will require a formal plan amendment. So this should be considered. And then, of course, it's always a good idea to make sure that as much advance notice as possible is given to employees so that they are able to plan accordingly.
Good. Thanks so much. We're done for this podcast.